Joining us now from the U.S. Golf Manufacturers Anti-Counterfeiting Working Group, we have Jason Rocker joining us. Jason, welcome into the golf shop.
Hey, how are you tonight?
All right, we're doing good. Well, that's a mouthful to say, so give me like the 60-second commercial on what you guys are responsible for doing. We'll start there.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We know it's a mouthful, but we figure we're solving a big problem, so we should have a big name, right?
Exactly.
Anyway, so the golf group is made up of six of the largest golf manufacturers in the world: Cleveland, Trixon, Zexio, Acushnet, Callaway, Ping, TaylorMade, and Parsons Extreme Golf. And essentially, all those organizations came together to create this working group, which is really a consortium to help raise awareness and fight counterfeiting of golf products.
So essentially, I mean, for people who are unfamiliar with how this works, is it what we would think of almost as a lobbying group?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, Okay. There's really the we say it kind of breaks down into two areas: education and enforcement. Right? We want to educate consumers about first of all the mere presence of counterfeiting in the golf industry, because some people might not know that. We want to make them aware of the dangers of it, not just from a product performance standpoint, but sometimes also from a safety standpoint, from a financial risk standpoint if you're buying from counterfeiters. So really to educate them on the dangers, ills, and really how to avoid buying counterfeit products. And then enforcement is the other component of it, where we're working with law enforcement officials both here in the United States and overseas, primarily in Asia, to identify counterfeit operations and shut them down, and then really go after them with the law enforcement folks to punish them for the acts that they're perpetrating.
Yeah, I mean, a few years ago, I think it was HBO's Real Sports did a good piece on counterfeit golf equipment, and you know, at the end of the piece, Brian Gumbel was like, "But can we ever stop this? Are we chasing Are we chasing butterflies with tweezers? Is there ever a way to catch all of this? And how do you guys gauge your success? I mean, and where have you found success representing the companies that you do in helping to abate this curse on our game?"
Sure. So, I mean, it's certainly an ongoing battle. There's no doubt about it, but those two elements of enforcement and education were making a significant impact. You know, we always say that if there are people willing to buy counterfeit products, there are people that are going to make them, right? So it's kind of a supply and demand type of equation. But we do know that, you know, over the past several years, we've seized millions of counterfeit golf products. The Chinese law enforcement officials and the government have become much more cooperative in the working with us to really, shut down these operations and punish the criminals that are perpetrating it. And we're seeing larger fines and larger criminal sentences, and so we're definitely making an impact, but we know that it's an ongoing battle.
All right, so I'm a recreational golfer who's not very good and doesn't play very often. Why should I care? If I feel like I got a good deal and I don't play that often, and so I'm not really worried about long-term performance of the club, but I feel good to have nice-looking clubs in the bag, why should I care?
Well, you should care because, one, you know, you want to get what you pay for. You know, these aren't knockoffs. They're fakes. So people are selling under a brand name, mm-hmm. and, you know, duping consumers essentially and saying, "Hey, buy this," and then you're getting an inferior product. And why you should care more than simply for pride factor or you feeling like you're getting duped is the fact that there's this safety issue many times. You know, sometimes it's a performance issue where there's a slice, or there's loss of distance or accuracy. But in many cases, we're seeing real safety issues where people are hitting balls and the club is shattering in their hand, or the head's flying off. So, you know, it runs the gamut, and the idea is you just don't know. So that's one thing. The second thing is, you know, I kind of alluded to this a little bit before, but, you know, if you're buying these clubs online, which the overwhelming majority of people are, well, how do you pay for stuff online? Credit cards, right? So you're really putting your personal financial information in the hands of criminals. So, you know, it's not just a kind of like, ah, who cares? You know, I go out on the weekend with some of my buddies and you know, maybe I don't hit it as well, but, you know, I feel good because they look good, you know. And it's a bigger issue than that for individuals. It's a bigger issue than that for the integrity of the game. And, you know, it's a bigger issue than that, you know, for people around the world.
All right, so how do we spot a fake? Because we've had conversations with club manufacturers before on the show, and, you know, we found out that at the end of 2016 that there was a certain manufacturer that's already making 2018 drivers in a factory in China. So that makes it real easy for somebody in China to go in, steal the way it looks, start, you know, be ready to manufacture their knockoffs, and have them ready for sale, like, the moment that that company rolls out their product. So how do we spot the fakes?
Sure. So the easiest way is not after the fact to spot the fake. The easiest way is to make sure you're buying from an authorized retailer in the first place, right? So we have a bunch of different, you know, education where we're at the golf show and we have these fakes and we show people and they say, oh, I can tell the difference. And, you know, it's kind of a fun exercise, but the reality is if you're able to spot the fake after you have it, it really doesn't matter because it's too late. You've already bought it. You've already got it home. Your credit card information out there. You've already been charged. Now, you may have some recourse with the credit card company, and they may give you the refund, and you certainly should report that to the ICCC, which is the Internet Crime Compliance Center. But at the end of the day, you already have it, and you've already been duped, so it's too late. So some telltale signs. First of all, if you go onto any of the manufacturers' websites, they'll tell you who authorized retailers are. And it doesn't mean you can't buy online, because there are authorized retailers online. You just have to make sure you're buying from authorized retailers. So, you know, the idea is make sure you're buying from them first, and then, you know, you'll be in the best shape possible.
And it's not as simple as if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. I mean, these are often not sold at, you know, 50% of retail. It's close enough that it seems like you're getting the real thing, correct?
Yeah, you know, I think when the issue started and counterfeit started, it was, you know, kind of like you said, it sounds too good to be true, it is. But, you know, these are criminals, and they're sophisticated criminals, and they've learned and they've gotten smarter, and they're selling it for a slight discount sometimes. And you may say, oh, well, maybe that's just a, you know, holdover from the year before. It's 10-15% off. And so somebody winds up buying it because they think, well, if it's that close to the real price, I'm saving a little bit of money, but it's got to be the real thing. And that's the challenge. You know, like I said, you're dealing with sophisticated criminals who are doing this for their own profit and not putting the consumer or the product first. So, you know, sure, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, but at the end of the day, they're doing better with that stuff, and they're making it much more difficult for consumers to tell the difference. That's why we tell them, make sure you're buying from an authorized retailer.
Again, we're speaking with Jason Rocker of the U.S. Golf Manufacturers Anti-Counterfeiting Working Group.
Whose business card looks like one of those giant checks they give the winner, just to fit all that information.
So is this something that the manufacturers put together, or is it a group that went to the manufacturers? How did this kind of take flight initially?
Yeah, so it is the manufacturers themselves. So the group is made up of those manufacturers that I named before. And, you know, much like other industries, they began to see, you know, more and more counterfeiting. It became prevalent. And they said, you know, this is enough. You know, we have to work together as an industry. We have to work together as manufacturers, and we have to protect the brands that we've built. And more importantly, we have to protect consumers and protect the game of golf.
It's interesting to see, you know, the more you start looking at clubs, and it's almost like the harder and harder. It's like, how do you rip off PXG? I mean, that's a super thing to do right now. I mean, with all the difference in the look and everything, I mean, and but it becomes so easy for some of these people to do, doesn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what's easy is matching the aesthetic. You know, they're very good at matching the aesthetic look and feel, some better than others. There are some that, you know, you can look at them right away and say, oh, that's really a bad one. But what we've noticed is that some people are very good at matching the aesthetic, but no one has really gotten good at matching the performance and the precision, and the safety for that matter. You know, so the idea is they're churning these out as quickly as possible. So there's not like there's a, you know, attention to detail or a you know, Six Sigma manufacturing quality guarantee. You know, that's the idea is let's get as many of these out as possible, sell them, and then move on.
Yeah, the problem is it looks like a duck. It may not sound like a duck. It may not feel like a duck. You know, it's all. And I remember being at the show and picking up some of the counterfeit ones, Mike. And it was like, you know, there was a cross section of an AP2 Titleist iron.
Yeah.
And they looked the same, but when you picked them up, they didn't feel the same. The insides weren't the same. I mean, the same with drivers. I mean, the thickness of the walls, all that stuff was different. But on the outside, everything looked the same.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sensitive to this issue because as a preteen, I once bought a Rolex with a K in it from a vendor on the streets in Haymarket Square in Boston. So,
Do you still wear it?
It didn't even look like a duck, and it didn't quack like a watch. So I don't even know why I was buying it. But you know, I'm curious as you guys travel the world, and we've all had seen the issues with Nike back in the '90s and whatever. Where do you rank sort of worker safety and workers' rights when you go in and look at some of these factories as a reason to even exist and to fight this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we look at the whole picture. You know, the idea is that I think people have this idea that this is a large manufacturing facility that are cranking these things out. But the reality is it's usually a couple-person operation out of a garage that can crank out a significant number very quickly. So, you know, it's not like you're having a sophisticated manufacturing facility with hundreds of people working there. And, you know, we're fighting for their rights per se. It's just really a matter of, you know, protecting the brands because it may be two or three criminals or, you know, a half dozen best case scenario that they're, you know, cranking out these, counterfeit products, but it's not a huge operation that you might think it was.
Oh, well, Jason, before we let you go, how can people find out more about your organization, what they're buying, how to spot a fake, all those kinds of things? Where can they go to find out more to keep from making these mistakes?
Sure. So the group has a website. It's called keepgolfreal.com. And on that site, there is everything you need to know from who's in the group, how it started, the magnitude of the problem, how to avoid a fake, some of the initiatives that we're doing both on the education and the enforcement side of things, and then also some of the things that were upcoming and that we're going to be doing in the future to keep this fight going and keep it strong. So the website, keepgolfreal.com. I'll leave you guys to say the group's name again because we might not have that kind of time, but I really enjoyed talking with you guys, and I hope your audience takes heed because you know, this is a real problem, and we're getting there, but we need the help of everybody to make sure we eliminate counterfeiting.
All right, well, Jason, man, we appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you again soon and see what else is going on.
All right, thanks guys.
All right, thanks a lot.